Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in the house every morning. Hallelujah. Our God is worthy to be praised. Our God is worthy to be worshipped. Amen. Once again, welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, our morning service. We are excited about what God is doing in the earth. We are excited about what God is doing for his people on this morning. I just want you all to just prepare your hearts and your minds, amen, to receive a mighty life-changing word from none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher Allen McQueen. Amen. We are just ready to just prepare our hearts. Amen. The presence of the Lord is already in the house. Amen. We're just going to just take it up a little higher with praise and worship. Amen. With prayer and then preparing ourselves to receive this life-changing word. Amen. But before I begin, I just want to give the quick announcements for this morning. Amen. Go immediately into prayer, following prayer, praise and worship. And then right after that, the mighty word of God. Amen. From the man of God. Glory to his name. Just letting you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. And on Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Join us for our live broadcast, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. We definitely want to see your face in the place. Amen. But also, for those of you who are not in the Central Florida location or in the Cocoa location, you can see all of our broadcasts live and hear us live at www.ctkr.org. Amen. That is our website. We do invite you there. Amen. And for any information that you would like about us in general, about the ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, of any of the churches that are under our covering, amen, or if you just want somebody to touch and agree with you in prayer, go to, at your honor, again, www.ctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us page at the top of our website, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. And for those of you who are interested in our media, amen, go to our media tab that's located at the top of our page, and you can hear all of our broadcasts live, you can see us live, and you can even go back in our archives to catch up with some of the messages that Apostle McQueen and myself have taught over the course of the last 6 or 7 months, amen. And if you really want to go further back and you're going to our website, you can also hear our old messages from the Blog Talk Radio as well, just to catch up and see what we're doing right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. Glory to God. And finally, want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Go to our Facebook page. Like us there. You can locate us under www.ctkr.org. Or you can find us, amen, under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. want to hear from you, and we want to know how this ministry is blessing your life. We also want to know what God is doing in your life. Amen. So like us there on our Facebook pages as well. Love to hear from you. God bless you. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Everybody govern yourselves accordingly. Now let us prepare our hearts and our minds for prayer. Amen. Amen. If you would, please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 150. Very, very familiar passage, but that's what we're about to do. We're all here to give God some praise, glory, and honor. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 150, reading out of the NIV version, it says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the string and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doers of his word. Come on, let's give God a praise in the house. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we glorify you and we thank you. God, we lift your name up in this house today to just begin to praise you and worship your holy name for who you are. God, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our King. We lift your name up in this house and we will sing praises unto you forever and ever. We love you, God, with everything that is in our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. Father, we come in this house to just begin to lift and worship and bow before you, God. Even now as we are in this place, Father, we just humble ourselves at your feet. We say, have your way in the lives of your people. Have your way in the music, God. Have your way in the musicians. Have your way in the word on this morning. Let the word come forth with power and with strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the word tonight or this morning begin to change lives, shift nations, birth out new things, God. Get rid of old things, God. Allow us to overcome. Allow us to pursue. Allow us to overtake. Let the word that comes forth this morning, God, begin to strengthen us, strengthen our hands, strengthen our feet, strengthen our hearts and our minds to continue to pursue after the kingdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, I'm asking now that you begin to put a tenacious down on the entire of your face, a tenacious down that will allow us to pursue, to no longer sit back, to no longer remain comfortable, to no longer just allow life to happen, but to take it by the horns and decree and declare and to speak those things that be not as though they already are. Begin to use the authority that you have given us in the heavens and in the earth. God, we thank you all today. We love your name today. We worship your name today. We cast out all fear. We cast out all sickness. We cast out every spirit that is contrary to the word of God on this morning. We repent, Holy Spirit. We have got your presence in this house. We have got your anointing in this house. Break every chain, destroy every terror in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. And we worship your holy name. And the light of this house. We give your name all the honor. We thank you for every resource. We thank you for every human being. We thank you for every man, woman, body, and heart. We thank you for the saved and unsaved. We thank you, God, for the blessings. We ask you with our heart and in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love your name.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Thank you.
And that he is beginning to speak to your very situation and work out everything, amen, making every crooked pathway straight. If you just trust and believe in him, amen, that everything is going to be all right. As I said before, you are a winner. You are a victor and not a victim. And God is for you, amen. Come on, let us give him a hand clap of praise in the house this morning. Amen. Put those hands together. Hallelujah. As we open up our mouths, let us give worship and praise his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, now that our hearts are prepared, amen. Our minds are uplifted. Glory to God. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Which makes preaching easy. Which makes, what God wants to do easy among his people. Amen. As our minds are ready to move and ready to shift. Amen. Let us now receive none other than the angel of this house, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Put those hands together as we receive him. Amen.
Come on, let's give God a praise all over the building.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give God a praise all over the building.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the name of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, if you don't feel them, not now, check your connection. Wow, look at your other neighbor. That was the wrong one. Look at them and say, if you don't feel them by now, then you need to check your connection. Now come on, kids, out and pray. I don't know about you. I heard a preacher say I wouldn't serve a God that I can't feel sometime. Listen, I'm not worried about not being able to feel him sometime. I just need a God that's real. Amen.
Amen.
Emotions you can feel. Amen.
Amen.
I can feel you. I feel you, man. I feel you. But something about Jesus. When I think about what he's done for me. Just look back over your life a little bit right now. Just look back. Yeah, look at those not so pleasant times. Look at those times when you thought that you was doing something when you was really doing nothing. Look at those times when you thought you was holding him down, but he was really holding you down. Now get that in your mind. And then open up your mouth and give God a praise.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
All right. See, I'm trying not to act up, but I was just thinking, we've been looking at the national news, and over the national news, they've been talking about how many people have been going around doing this, that, and other, amen. They've been talking about the fact that there's some things that have been happening over in Missouri, amen. And last night, tear gas was being used to get several young males who were walking around with their hands up saying, we don't care, I'm ready to die for a cause. Huh? But I got a better one for you. Instead of dying for a cause, how about we live because?
Yes.
Y'all missed that. I said instead of dying for a cause, why don't we live because? Put your neighbor and say, because of the blood. Because of the blood. He shed it for us. He gave us an opportunity. Now, I can do a whole lot more live than I can do dead. Amen? And we got to get ourselves to the place where we understand who we are and why we are. Listen, we're going to go quickly into the Word this morning. We won't belabor the time. I just want y'all to realize that the atmosphere is getting where we want it to be. Amen? How many of y'all feel the atmosphere shifting?
Amen.
Amen. How many of y'all really feel it shifting?
Yes.
Amen? And see, the thing is that there's a level that you have to get to where you expect God every time you come into his presence. Amen? If you ever just show up, then you have not come in the spirit of expectation. Amen? Look at your neighbor and just ask him this question. If you come expecting anything from God, oh, come on. If you haven't expected anything from God, then you can't get anything. Your faith has nothing to project itself toward.
Uh-huh. So if you didn't come expecting something from God, then you just showed up to a location at a certain time. But you can't get nothing out of it because you did not come prepared. Your faith did not precede you into the sanctuary. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you get out of it what you put into it. All right, all right. Thank God for you all. Thank God for a musician over there. Don't it sound good? I keep trying not to call him son, but I'm just going to tell you, back in Ohio when I'll sit down and play like we did for Praise and Worship, and my son, Ray Shaw, would be on the drums, and then when I got up to come up to preach, my son would get on the organ, and you brother tell me I sat on the drums while I was over there playing. I just came over here and you got on it. So if I have a fart in your slip and say, son, don't take it personal. You just doing what my son does. Amen. And let me just say this about him while I'm speaking there. Every woman of prophetic destiny and anything else that we have asked him to do, he has been here. And I just want to say, before the congregation and those of you who are watching and listening, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless. You know, yes, you know, I want people to understand. I have young men that have come to me and said, I want you to be my mentor and teach me what you know about music and everything. And every time they come, the first thing I go into is the Word, because we got too many musicians. Amen. But we don't have enough psalmists, and we don't have enough those who will actually come in as David would and play with a skillful hand, anointed. Amen.
Amen.
So you want to know how we put together tracks and balance out the stereo field and get everything to pump and be separate, and I can show you all that. That you can take classes, get that. But I can't show you how to be anointed. That comes from a lifestyle change, amen? And too many times what happens is musicians come into the church and we get them prepared for the work of ministry, and then somebody comes and dangles a dollar bill in front of them, and they run out the door after the money. Amen? I'm not talking about what I heard. I've lived this life already, amen? Been to the top of Brian Thomas, my teacher, said it. He said, he could have been anywhere, talking about myself, that he could have been anywhere playing for anybody. He had plenty of opportunity. But thank God he stayed true to his gift and his calling, and he's still in the church. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you probably know a number of musicians that we can look at on YouTube, and many of you watching, you can look at them on YouTube right now playing for the top gospel artists, and just as quick see them playing for the top secular artists too. And they try to say, you know, this is just living. But see, that's not what a church musician is. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't do it for a living. We do it for service. We do it unto the Lord. And then God turns around and rewards us for what we have done. Amen. You see that?
Yeah.
All of my life, I thank God for my spiritual father, Bishop Garrett, Arville Garrett, who took the time and poured into me and helped me to remember and understand the difference between one who is anointed and one who is a hireling.
Yeah.
All right? Because, see, a hireling will come in for what they can get. But those who are coming in and trained as servants and sons, amen. And let me just let the servant part go, because a son will serve. When you deal with a son will actually come in with the heart of the ministry. They'll take time and worry about what's going on and how we can make it better, because they understand that if they serve, then God will reward. Amen. Everyone say favor.
Favor.
Now look around you, because everything that we have is because of favor.
It really is.
It really is.
It really is.
I haven't worked since 2008, but we aren't lacking in anything. Amen? God has prepared us and kept us and gave us favor. Amen? You know, I'm not going to say that it wasn't rough sometimes. Amen? I won't stand up here and lie like, you know, we ain't never had rough days. But I will say, because we remain true to the assignment and to the anointing that God placed on our life, God has given us
favor several places and several times. Amen? Am I right there?
Amen.
So we live a faith walk life. Amen. You start working 2008 and see how you live without God being behind it. So I'm just saying, come on now. See, we are supposed to, and we're going to get into this word, we're going to Titus the third chapter. We're going to get into this, but I want you to understand that we can't just preach the gospel, we have to live the gospel before you.
Yeah.
Amen. And if I tell you that God is able, I have to show you that he's able. I've given away more equipment, supplied churches with sound systems and mics and keyboards and drums and everything else. Let me stop thinking about it, because when I think about all that I've given away, and yet still I have enough to do what we need to do. Amen. Isn't God good? Have we ever thought about what God has said? That's me talking. Look in your life. Look at the stuff that you know there's no way in the world you should have ever had it, been able to get it, obtain it, and for that matter of fact, maintain it. And look at how God is good. Somebody needs to give him a great praise right here.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. He does all kind of wonderful things for us. Amen. This morning, we want to go into this word. And I just want to say thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give God a praise for brother. Yeah. Amen. Let's go in this word. And what I want to do, let's go to the third verse, and we're going to begin picking it up from there. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to understand how you are saved. Let me say that again. You need to know how you're saved. And then say, thank God for the grace of God. Now, I'm saying this because when we begin to really look at the grace of God, we have to take into consideration certain things, and that is there is movement right now called hypergrace, amen. And the hypergrace movement, they tell their followers that God loved you so much that he wouldn't dare punish you. So you can live your life knowing that God loved you so much that he would never send you to hell. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus. Amen. And when you understand that, then you'll stop playing around with God. You will stop testing his mettle, if you will. Recognizing that if God said it, God will do it. He's not a man that he should lie. He don't have to make excuse for your sensibilities. He sent his son, and he loved us. Amen. Look what it says here. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another.
Yeah.
But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works. Look at your neighbor and say, not by works.
Not by works.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen? We're going to stop right there. Listen, I want you to understand something. Right now, what we're dealing with, turning away from the news and from other things, since we have to deal with the reality that God has saved us for a purpose. Amen?
Now, some of you have to understand that God saved you on purpose. Amen. Because if you would have been left to your own devices going the way that you have been going, things would have happened that would have been different than they are now. How many of you are grateful that God just reached out at the right opportune time, grabbed you by your collar, and pulled you back out of some mess? You would have succumbed to that thing. God was in fact designed by the enemy to take you all out of here. And here you are, deer in headlights, running headlong, not knowing that danger is around the corner. Yet still, God said, no, it's not a time. It's not a time. And I have a work for them to do. They're going to get down to doing what I called them to do. You can't have them. I have purpose in their life. So on purpose, he saved us. I remember when I got saved. I tell the story often. I was in, it was Memorial Day, and Shania Bostic at the time, she's married now to Kevin Levine, and he has another project out. Y'all need to go check it out. I remember being over at Refreshing Springs with him and his father and his family and everything, and I'm just, you know, as a public service announcement right there, go find Kevin LeVar and get his project. It is worth having. Amen. But at the time, living in my life, I was walking around seeking who, okay, don't look at me like that, because some of you in your own life, amen, have walked around looking, seeing who was seeing and trying to figure out. And I thank God, and I'm just going to shout out to Shondell right now, because Shondell, even though she was there, was not paying attention to me trying to see what she can get because of my skill and my talent. Amen. She was living a safe life. Amen. Amen. And she has now, she was a sister back then. They became family to me. Amen. My boss took in them. In the D.C. area, in the Virginia area, amen. And what's happening is I went out there. She was over the, I think it was the Virginia, one of those colleges down in university. She was over the gospel choir and asked me to help produce some music. And me, I was like, she's sort of cute. I guess I'll go help her. So I went over there. And while I'm over there, I had my son, Rayshawn, with me and everything. You know, we were just there. I think this is before, yeah. So while I'm there, I'm down there Memorial Day weekend, ate ribs and chicken and everything else. Amen. And we get ready to walk out the door and go on home. And I remember my boss, the Ivory Boss, said something to me that was interesting. She said, "Listen, before we walk out the door, whenever we all come together, we always pray and ask God's protection over our lives." Amen. So what happened is we all grabbed hands. And me being a PK, I knew how to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and moan just right at the right time. You know, you've done it enough times coming up in your life and playing church. You got it down to a you know, a timing. You got the timing down. So they were saying, Lord, we praise you. I said, thank you, Jesus. And we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and I'm sitting there going through the motions, and then the power of God hit the room. I went down to one knee, still trying to hold the hand. Power of God hit the room again. Bam! Went down to the other knee. They let my hands go, backed up, closed the circle, and it was on, buddy. I was on that floor from about, I don't know, probably 11-something until about 2-something in the morning. But every time I would get ready, the Holy Spirit was showing me myself driving and acting a fool, driving from Toledo, Ohio to Harlem, New York to do concerts, and in the car was a fifth, a bag, a bottle. But, you know, there was something in there. We went and bought it. We didn't care what it was we was drinking. We went ahead and just, you know, we bought what was on sale. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying right there. I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. But we went driving, foot down, zooted out, driving, trying to get to New York, going around those Pennsylvania mountains. This is before they come up with some of these, you know, things they put on the curbs now to keep you from going over. You're going to tear up the guardrail. Well, back then they just had, you know, areas where you could pull off, so it wasn't all the safety that's out there. And the Holy Spirit, while I was on the floor, showed me my full self. Showed me how many times I went out to clubs and things I shouldn't have been at because the anointing over my life was for his service, and yet and still I'm hanging out places where my anointing shouldn't have went. People get in a fight, stabbings and bullets flying and going right past me, fights breaking out right close to me and stuff. And yet and still, I never got stabbed. I never got shot. He was showing me how many times he kept my fool in. Somebody needs to realize and recognize that that's me that he's talking about right there. Because some of you have been some places doing some things you should have never did, and yet still God kept you. God covers you. Amen? I'm on the floor now, and while I'm on the floor dealing with all of that, the Lord began to deal with me concerning the call, who he called me to be. Amen? And at that point in time, he began to deal with justifying. Now, why am I talking about justification? Because I'm talking about it because if we go back to our lives and we talk about what we should owe.
Right.
Come on now. We go back to what the debt was that we owe for the sin that we had in our lives. We'll come out to some realities, and that is, if somebody had not bailed me out, I would still be in debt today. He dealt with me and said, now I called you and I need an answer from you. And somewhere about 12:30 or so, I started saying, yes! Yes, Lord! Yes! And you know what? They got behind me and started saying, come, yes! And I said, yes! Why am I saying that? Because when you give him a yes that comes from the inside of you, you ain't trying to take it back. Some of you have lied in church long enough, and you need to come back to the altar and give him the yes that he demands out of your life. Look at your neighbor and say, if that's you, make it to the altar. Make sure you put that if there. I don't want you accusing nobody. Maybe they didn't. Maybe that's not theirs. Amen. But if it is, tell them if that's you, make sure you make it to the altar. Here we see in this text, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared to man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, because I never missed church a Sunday in my life. I was sitting on that organ. I was partying, acting a fool from Sunday evening, sometimes Sunday afternoon, amen, tell the truth, until the next Sunday morning when it's time to come back in here, amen? But I made sure I made it to church. So surely by my righteous work, making sure everyone had some music, and if they wanted to shout, I was going to pray for them. They could run around the building 15 minutes. In 20 minutes, an hour, I was going to play all of it and make sure that we changed it up. Well, they're going to get it. Yeah, we did that. I never missed. Amen. Yet still, my life was not in church. I was just at church. All right, somebody. Not according to not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Huh? You see that? You see those words? Just first there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. What are those next three words? It says, he saved us. Look at the neighbor and say, he saved us. You have to understand, but when I talk about us, I'm saying that there were many times that I hung out with my friends, and we had what was called youth conventions and stuff, and we'd be at the altar every youth convention. We didn't know who got saved on the first night. And, you know, we didn't have this 2-3-day stuff. We used to go the whole week, Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, bring in Marvin Wyatt and everybody else who's coming out of preach. And we used to, and he would get in there and be all prolific and all that. It was wonderful. And we would just say, I'm saying, for real, Monday we get to school, can't get to your locker before you cussing people out, trying to prove that you know you still the dog on the block. I ain't by myself, some of y'all. Some of y'all didn't go back to school. Y'all went in the office and started kicking over chairs and telling people, stay out my desk, blank, 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 made me lose my blessing. No, I'm trying to help you all. When I talk about us, I'm saying that we all have had moments where we came to Jesus. What we call them, come to Jesus moments. We've had come to Jesus moments, but we've lost it. We came and then we left. And you should have stayed at his feet. And some of you should have been Mary at the feet of Jesus instead of the busybody that Martha was. We're going to preach that later. Amen. He saved us. How did he do it? Look at your neighbor and say, by washing. I want to say how we can get saved nowadays. Today, we get saved and we come up and we shake the preacher's hand and then we go back to doing whatever we did before that. We have an emotional response, but we don't have Christian character development. You have a moment where he touched your life, but then you don't develop from there. I thank God that once I got up off the floor with an assignment and a yes and an understanding that I had gone through the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that my body didn't just say, well, you say, God, I see you. She said, come on, this is what we're going to have to do. I need you to come over. We've got to pour this word into you so you can get strong. Amen? So that's why it's important. Some people look at us and they say, you know, y'all just, you know, something about y'all that's different than everybody else. What's different about us is that I'm not just seeking you to have an emotional response. I want you to grow in the things of God. And it's not a catchphrase. It's a reality. The strength of a ministry is how strong the membership is. And when I talk about strong, I'm not talking about number. I'm talking about if a demon-possessed person walks through the door, can you, at the back of the church, cast the demon out before they get to the front of the church? I posted on one of my social media over in Africa. They were showing a witch doctor and his two companions out there coming up against the pastor, and the pastor was doing like this, and then he would turn around and in the neighborhood, the neighbors, and they said, who's stronger, the witch doctor or Jesus? At the end, they were laid out. They picked them up, carried them in the church, and then get a cast every demon out of them. We got to get back to this. And my caption that I put on is, look, no armor bearer. There were no people in their train in the nation coming in, you know, you're going to protect the pastor. Shut up! If he ain't got power, she ain't got power to stand behind the sacred desk, declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, and walk in the authority and the power of it, get out of the pulpit. Back in the day, we didn't have guns in church. We didn't have pacers and clubs and the rest of that. They wasn't walking around with little knives on them just in case, you know, trained in the arts. There wasn't doing all of that. We had Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Huh? Moses would sit back there and say, Lucia, home. We don't even hear that no more. We got sophisticated.
Step out, these demons. Set them alone.
See, we got to get back to the place where we decree and declare the glory of Jesus Christ. So why did he then call us and save us? It's so that we can demonstrate his power in the earth. Look at what it says here. He saved us by the washing and of regeneration. You were originally given dominion in the earth. All right? Because you have to understand that everything that was taken from you was redeemed to you at the cross. Amen? See, the sin that Adam and Eve did, they basically took from us, the devil took from us in trickery everything that God had given us. Amen? Huh? Let's go to Genesis, second chapter. Seventh verse. It says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. You understand? So it is at this point that God has now created everything that is going to be created. 7 days he created it, and the seventh day what he created was rest. Amen? And we forget that there's the time to rest. Some of you busybodies need to sit down and observe all the creation. Amen? All of it. Say it there. All of it. So we have to understand that God called us to something that we need to be responsible for. Amen? Huh? So after we see that, we see that there's responsibility given to us. Let's go back to the first chapter and the 26th verse. Because we see here in the second chapter and the 7th verse, we see it actually happen. But let's go back to 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and listen to this, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So in other words, God gave us already authority and dominion. Y'all see that? God told us that we have some things that we need to do. Amen? This verse, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. He created them. Next verse, because this is important. And God blessed them. Everybody say them. And I like to make this point every time I come to the scripture, because we have made this a male chauvinistic gospel. It's about man standing up and being the only one that can say something. But God blessed them. Everybody say them. Look at your sister and say, you're blessed.
You're blessed.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God blessed them and then told them to subdue, have dominion. You see that? Huh? It is our job, mankind, male or female, to get back to the thing that God gave us. Who at the cross, Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for us. And what he did was he restored us. Now let's go back to Titus, amen, third chapter, because when you see the word replenished, now you understand what he's talking about here. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
So when he talks about replenish, what he's telling us is that he has blessed us, through the washing of regeneration. Let me ask this question. What washed you? What was it that washed you so that you were regenerated? What was it that washed you so that you were renewed? And what was the cloth that applied? It's right here. He saved us. How did he save us?
Why?
He stretched wide. And they crucified him. And from him flowed the blood.
Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
He saved us through shedding his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So when he shed his blood for us, is what saved us.
Wow.
You see that? And it says, by the washing of regeneration. Because what happened is the bloodline that I had in my sinful past was no good. So when he shed his blood, it began to infuse my blood.
Transfuse, that's the word I wanted.
Huh? I had a total transfusion. I know it looks the same, but the blood of Jesus is running through the veins. Amen?
Amen.
It's what keeps me. It regenerates me. Huh? And then there's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit means that my assignment that was given to me at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one now who renewed me back into my assignment. Each one of us was born with purpose. And even though in your life you will develop some proclivities and have a propensity to do certain things, it is still an assignment that you were born with. You got to get back to your assignment. That's why people who run away from preaching and I don't want to be no preacher. Listen, all I want to do is be a musician. Amen? I try to, I don't know if I'm ready for that. No, you're not ready for that. But if you just got a yes, you're preparing for the assignment.
Amen.
You were born for that. While you're running from it, you can't get nothing. Aren't you tired? Well, let me just ask the question. Aren't you tired of just enough? Aren't you tired of just good enough? You can get what God has for you that will satisfy you if you give God a yes. Giving him the yes will give you everything because desiring in your past was the blessings of your obedience to follow God's plan for your life. Oh, my God. Washing, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And see, I'm glad that word Holy Ghost is there because it shows me that Jesus paid the price. But I can't do nothing without the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I need him. I need him on the inside of me. He is the one that leads and guides me. And when I get into a place where my flesh has come alive too much because I have not addressed or crucified it and mortified the flesh in a certain area, the Holy Spirit reminds me you can wait back too up under the blood.
Yeah.
We have forgotten that we can place certain things up under the blood and it will take care of the sin issues in our life. Walking around acting like we have arrived. You have not arrived. And if you did, you didn't bring yourself.
Well,
let's go to that sixth verse. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
He shed on us. It's interesting that he didn't say the blood.
Right.
Even though it's talk.
No, he knew it.
about the look.
Because you do not shed the Holy Spirit.
You shed the blood.
Amen? So then the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us abundantly. His mercy has been poured out on us abundantly.
His grace has been poured out on us abundantly.
And this is where that prosperity theology gets into trouble. It's because when they see abundantly, all they can think about is their own proclivity.
Yeah.
I like cars. God wants me to have many cars I want because he loves me.
Right.
Shut up. Luxury. God wants me to have as much jewelry as I want because he let me. I like houses. I want my houses to have marble. Everybody got marble. I want that, what was that, iron that they had, and it was better than granite. Yes, I was like, ooh, got some stuff. They're like, this is real expensive. They're like, I just want that in my house all over the place. You know, because God loves me. He wants me to have that. That out. The abundance that he's talking about is his spirit, his grace, his mercy.
Yeah.
It's not your bank account.
Amen.
It's not what you want. It's what he wants. And we got to stop switching the words around talking about he wants me to have it. He did not call you to have all of that. A lot of that is your flesh or parade will stand for Christianity on it so you can feel better about desiring it. You need to go and study what covetousness is because you're doing it. I'm not asking for anybody else's stuff. Covetousness is not just somebody else's, it's yours too. Well, I don't think God wants me to live in squalor and everything. You need to go back and read Deuteronomy. He said, I led you in the wilderness all these years and caused you to be hungry. I caused you. God says this. I caused you to be hungry. Huh? So that I could feed you. He said, I allowed you to be thirsty. Okay? God wouldn't do that. See, some of you need to get past your old life so that you can have a new life. Your whole life was about getting all that you could get. And what you heard in a prosperity theology and gospel was that I could come in here and as long as I'm giving a little money, God is going to give me the ability to have everything I want. So you never changed your lifestyle or anything from your past, simple life. All you did was come in and put on a suit and put an envelope in an offering thing and then walk away and say, thank you, Jesus, for my next. And he's not giving you nothing. You gave away a lot of money for no good reason. You know why? Because the gospel will challenge you to change. That's what we're talking about here. That's why he abundantly poured out his love. He abundantly poured out his mercy. He abundantly poured out his grace because he changed us.
Yep.
All right. So first, then, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, let me just say this as we're coming to the end of our time. You have to understand that word heir there tells you that you don't have to run after anything. It belongs to you already.
Amen.
The prince sitting in the palace don't have to run after the throne. After in the due season, if the throne is going to be there, it's theirs. They don't have to go qualify nothing. If it's theirs, it's theirs. I don't have to have my father's cattle and everything else because there's already been set aside a portion that is more than enough for me because of who I am. And when you recognize that, you'll see that God has already set aside some stuff for you that is more than enough. God never gave us blessings that were just enough for us. God always gives us blessings that are more than enough, that we as all the families of the earth can be blessed. We call ourselves the seed of Abraham through the blood of Jesus Christ, who brought us into the spirit of adoption, huh? So now we are children of God and heirs to Abraham's seed. Which means that if Abraham was told, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, we got to stop holding the blessing unto ourselves and start sharing with the rest of the families of the earth. Why ain't you got no more? Because God tried you out to see what you would do. That's what he did in Deuteronomy, and I tested you and tried you to see if you would serve me or not. And some of you have failed the test. So that little blessing that you got, that you ran off after you forgot about who God was, that's all you get. Hope you enjoyed it. So for those of you who have passed the test, get ready for the increase, because God knows now that he can trust you with the fruit of the land. You're about to get some more stuff. Now, why do I say stuff when I talk about running after stuff? Because the things that God gives you, he knows that you will use them for the kingdom. You're not missing anything. I gave you an analogy, and I'll give it again as we come to the end. I said, take a paintbrush, put it in the paint, go and start painting the wall. Get to the place where you don't have no more paint that you put on the wall from this brush before you dip it again. You didn't get no more paint off of this. Now take it and go across your hand. What do you have? Paint. Someone said, I don't know. I said, okay, well, take that brush since you don't know. If you put it in a glass of water or a bucket of water in it, and as soon as you put it in, what does the water do? It changes the color of that paint. In other words, God can use you to bless others, and you never lack having it yourself. We don't have to run after anything. We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Promise of God for us. It is God's will for us to live this lifestyle and to have the things of God. Amen? Come on, clap your hands before the Lord. Come on, clap your hands before the Lord. Come on, clap your hands before the Lord. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. I pray right now that you would simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray if they pray this prayer that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can grow and develop, be developed, go on to do the assignments you've given them to do. I pray right now for the sick and the shut-in. I pray for those, Lord, who are going through circumstances and situations in their life, that you would move upon them now. Release your angels. Go minister to the need of your people, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, because men and women right now are going to give you praise because you showed us that you saved us, you loved us, and you have abundantly poured out on us the Spirit of God. Grace and mercy, and thank you for all of those things. Now meet every need so that we can glorify you the more. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, I pray that you go to our website, www.ctkr, there you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. While you're there, donate to this ministry. Help us. As we are going forward, we have many daughters who need financial help, and there are things that we need to do here, amen, in the sanctuary as well. We ask that you will partner with us, and your seed that you sow will bring forth a mighty harvest. The Bible says it very clearly that when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he shall repay. So for our churches over in Pakistan, over in Kenya, over in Uganda, and over in Nigeria, the orphanages and the schools, they need your financial help and support. I pray that you will listen to the Spirit as it moves across your heart, and you will respond to this request. I pray that God will do something in your life. Amen. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We just want to tell you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, everyone, give God a praise. Come on, give him a praise.